The program you are about to hear is not an ordinary radio program. This program brings you facts and ideas that the liberal media don't want you to know. Facts and ideas that American patriots must know if our nation, our freedom, and our people are to survive. Like the patriots of Eastern Europe in the 1980s, American patriots are finally starting to be heard from. This program is the voice of those patriots, the voice of the decent, hardworking, and long-suffering American people. This is American Dissident Voices. What would you say if a liberal social scientist told you to jump into a pool filled with 500 ravenous piranhas? If you valued your life, you'd certainly refuse the invitation. But what if the liberal social scientist tried to convince you to go ahead and jump in with the argument that not all of the piranhas are aggressive? Some of them probably just want to make friends with you and really aren't hungry either. To say that a piranha is going to attack you just because he's a piranha is a wicked stereotype and probably contributes to the piranha's negative feelings about you. If that argument was made to you, would you then jump into the pool filled with piranhas? I don't think so. You'd probably figure, quite logically, that even if there were one or two or even a dozen piranhas that by chance or due to a recent meal decided not to attack you, that certainly wouldn't change the bloodthirsty behavior of the other 488. And it certainly wouldn't change the outcome of any foolish foray into the pool. But let's just say you were stupid enough to listen to the liberal social scientist, and you did jump into the pool filled with piranhas. Yet somehow, you managed to survive. You made it to the other side of the pool where you quickly jumped out, but you were seriously injured in the process. After you got out of the hospital, where your wounds were stitched up and your lost blood was replaced, you were paid a visit by your old friend, the liberal social scientist. Needless to say, you weren't too happy to see him, but before you could say a word, he started talking. "I'm awfully sorry to see how you've been hurt," he said, "but it isn't my fault at all, you see." You replied, "You mean, oh great and wise social scientist, that you can finally see that those piranhas are vicious and I don't belong in the pool with them?" "No, I don't mean that at all," answered the liberal social scientist. "It's not the piranha's fault that you almost got eaten alive. It's not the poor piranha's fault at all. It's your fault." "My fault?" you exclaim. "How the hell could it be my fault?" How little you bourgeois middle Americans understand, sighed our liberal genius. "Don't you see that what happened to you only happened because those poor piranhas were underprivileged and hungry? If you'd given them enough food and a decent chance at life, then they wouldn't have attacked you like they did. When was the last time you helped a piranha? They've been struggling for centuries while your kind lived in luxury. Don't you think it's time the tables were turned? And not only that, but you ordinary Americans have caused the poor, innocent piranhas to feel left out in your society. Naturally, they harbor negative feelings about you, when you never want to have anything to do with them. You should understand that we all hate what we don't know. We must integrate piranhas into our society, keep them in our swimming pools and bathtubs, and introduce them into all our rivers, mountain streams, and lakes. by associating with piranhas every day and by feeding them as much as they want to eat, eventually a spirit of brotherhood will emerge, and we and the piranhas will live together in peace, harmony, and joyous diversity evermore. But you, Mr. Ordinary American, and here the liberal social scientist thrust his flabby little finger into your face, you are going to have to change your evil ways before we can have that happy world. You're out of your mind, you reply. Piranhas may be fine in the Amazon jungle, but you're crazy if you think we can live and associate with them every day. We and they just don't belong together. And if you're so in love with piranhas, why don't you go on a little swim with them? And if you think I'm going to waste my money and time feeding them and helping them multiply just so they can eat me and my family alive at some time in the future, Mr. Genius Social Scientist, then you've got another think coming. And with that, you kick his delicate carcass downstairs. Still smarting from his fall and rapidly retreating backwards, the liberal social scientist shakes his little fist and calls back to you. Your generation is hopeless. You'll never understand the need to integrate with and support piranhas. But your children will. Our brotherhood program at the elementary school will teach them that it's their duty to live with and help the poor piranhas. They'll be swimming with them every day at the school's pool. And that's just the first step. There's nothing you can do about it. Gradually, the voice of your former friend, the liberal, fades away. But he's certainly given you something to think about, hasn't he? American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books. I hope that my little fable of the liberal social scientist and the piranhas has brought home to you the folly and stupidity of the American people who have allowed themselves to be bullied and intimidated into accepting the conversion of their country into a sewer. And it isn't just liberal social scientists who are pushing us down the road to national ruin. The greatest stumbling block we face is alien and anti-American control of the mass media. By twisting the facts to suit their own agenda, by leaving out important information that Americans ought to know, and by distracting our attention and wasting our precious time with game shows, soap operas, and silly ball games, the media controllers lull us to sleep, create a false impression of inevitable victory for their side, and paralyze patriotic Americans' will to resist. All of this is spelled out in detail in our research report on media bias, entitled Who Rules America? I urge every one of you who hasn't done so already to obtain a copy of this meticulously researched paper. It names names and pulls no punches. You've known for years that the media were biased. After reading Who Rules America, you will finally understand why they are biased. You will finally understand the real and exact nature of the enemy we face. To receive this report along with our big catalog of books, tapes, and videos, just send $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. That's $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. One of the worst things that the controlled media do to us is to give us an entirely false picture of the political spectrum. They foster the illusion that the alternative to liberalism is conservatism. Then they try to paint the only real alternative to liberalism, which is nationalism, as some kind of hate or bigotry. Nothing could be further from the truth. First, Let's dispose of the conservative illusion. At one time, conservatism did present a real alternative to the liberal disease. Americans, and I mean real Americans, the sons and daughters of those Europeans who founded and built this country, prior to the Second World War, still controlled a majority of the wealth, property, and political power in this country. But ever since then, our fortunes have been on the decline. Governmental policies and media propaganda have divided this country up into slices and delivered them on a silver platter to the special interests and minority groups, which are highly organized and relatively united in their hatred of us. There's been a revolution, Mr. Ordinary White American, and you lost. How can you be a conservative when there's so little left to conserve? The time for conservatism has long passed. Its time was 50 years ago and more. What passes for conservatism today is just liberalism light. Conservatives don't want to send the ravenous piranhas back to the Amazon jungles. They just want to integrate with them a little more slowly. They wouldn't ever dare say that we ought not even to try to live with piranhas. Oh, no. The conservatives say they love living with piranhas more than anybody. Some of their best friends are piranhas. Let's just teach the piranhas to be a little nicer. Give them neighborhood schools and enterprise zones. And soon, we'll have brotherhood without any disturbing declines in our stocks and bonds. Naturally, the liberals and their masters are delighted to have such conservatives as their adversaries. A little slower under Bush and Reagan, a little faster under Bill and Hillary, still we move inexorably toward national suicide. The real alternative to liberalism, which the liberals themselves well know, is nationalism. That's why the liberals and the controlled media smilingly tolerate people like William Buckley, Ronald Reagan, and George Bush. They know that such patsies pose no real threat to their anti-American agenda. But they become apoplectic with rage when a real nationalist comes on the stage of history. That's why they organize smear campaigns against this radio program and try to have us taken off the air. That's why patriotic Americans must come to understand that any conservative spokesman who is tolerated and given a forum in the controlled media is himself controlled. That's why patriotic Americans must come to realize that any real patriot is going to be smeared and vilified and viciously attacked by the media. We must come to appreciate such attacks as a badge of honor, as an indication that America's enemies are afraid of us, afraid of the righteous anger of an awakened American people. The real alternative to liberalism is nationalism. Nationalism is synonymous with patriotism. Nationalism means that you put the interests of your nation first. Nationalism means you recognize that your nation consists of its people, who are united by a common heritage of blood, language, and culture. Much more than it consists of a geographic area between two artificial lines drawn on a map. Let's look at the contrasting positions of liberalism and nationalism on a few important issues. Maybe you're really a nationalist and didn't know it. One of the first things you must understand is that liberals are essentially internationalist in their outlook. To them, it is immoral to put your nation first. Their ultimate goal is world government. Not many people know it, but prominent liberal tycoon Ted Turner, the owner of CNN and several other television networks, is so internationalist-minded that he has forbidden his announcers from even using the word foreign, because that would imply, horror of horrors, that we were Americans. On the other hand, though we nationalists hate no one, and we recognize our kinship with our cousins of European descent and culture overseas, We do put the interests of Americans before those of other nations. We say it is treason to openly or secretly plan the transfer of our money, resources, or authority to the United Nations or any other international entity. When a nationalist government comes to power in America, those who have betrayed our nation will be tried for treason. Liberals say that free trade is good for us. We say that free trade only benefits super-rich international corporations and those internationalists who want to equalize our living standards with those of the third world so that we can be more comfortably merged into a one-world government, their so-called New World Order. We say that America should trade with foreign countries, yes, but only if and when it benefits the American people. One word the liberals never utter is the word tariff. For over 100 years in America, the tariff, which means just a fee charged to foreigners for the privilege of importing goods into this country, was the federal government's main source of income. Americans paid no income taxes since the tariff provided the funds instead, and the differential in prices caused by cheap foreign labor was thus equalized at the border, encouraging the development of American industry. A future nationalist government will once again encourage American industry and restore our status as the leading industrial nation of the world. Liberals will tell you that since everyone is inherently equal, that the cause of inner city crime and violence is poverty. And naturally, that poverty is all our fault. Nationalists, on the other hand, recognize the facts of nature. And one of those facts is that some groups do not belong in our advanced Western society. The result of their being forced to live with us is unhappiness and resentment, and all too often, crime and violence. A future nationalist government will not force incompatible peoples to live together just to validate some crackbrain social theory. We will let each people have its own territory and true independence and freedom. Liberals say that guns cause violent crime. They don't trust the people with effective firearms, and they would like to arrange things so that only the police and the military have them. Nationalists understand that an armed population is our only defense against criminals and against tyranny by liberals or anyone else. Nationalists demand the right of our people to be armed, just as our founding fathers did, and for the same reason, because we know the government is not always benevolent. Liberals say we should subsidize the never-ending maternity of those in the very lowest achieving and least productive sectors of our society, and tax the producers to do it. Nationalists say that we should discourage the lowest among the low from having children, who would only continue the cycle of dependence and misery into future generations. Instead of paying welfare mothers and sending food or low-interest loans to third-world countries, let's give subsidies and low-interest loans to our own young married couples so that they can have a better chance at getting an early start at raising children who will be a credit to their nation. For decades, liberals have flushed our money down the toilet in their never-ending pursuit to change the laws of nature and bring their twisted dream of brotherhood to fruition. Not only have they spent all the money that they could squeeze by taxes and inflation out of our productive people, but they have also mortgaged our children's birthright by deficit spending. For years, these deceivers and liars told us that deficit spending is good for you. It stimulates the economy. And after all, we only owe it to ourselves, don't we? Well, now the chickens have come home to roost, and we are faced with a debt of immense proportions and potentially catastrophic consequences. Nationalists say that government expenditures will always fall upon the shoulders of the productive portion of the American people and should therefore be limited to those government functions necessary to guarantee our security and secure a decent future for our children. Crackpot schemes of world salvation should only be funded by those foolish enough to believe in them. Liberals are always complaining about terrorism, like the recent bombing of the World Trade Center in New York. But it is they who encourage the invasion of millions upon millions of third worlders to our shores, many of whom bring with them the hatreds, feuds, conflicting religions, tribal loyalties, and ideologies that often explode into violence on the once clean and peaceful streets of America. A nationalist government would send these people, whether they be Sikh or Parsi, Russian Jew or Palestinian Arab, humanely back to their respective countries to solve their own problems in their own ways. Our women and children should never be put at risk because of foreigners' quarrels. Liberals nearly faint with indignation if you suggest that pornography or pro-homosexual propaganda be kept out of the hands of our young people. Censorship, they cry with an air of offended moral superiority. A nationalist government would teach our children to have a wholesome, natural, and reverent attitude toward sex. Those who would, for political reasons or for money, corrupt our youth with homosexuality or tempt them with a twisted, degrading image of the opposite sex would find themselves charged with a capital crime in a nationalist America. These same liberals who cannot stand the thought of pornography being banned or restricted in any way are the same liberals who want more and more so-called hate crime laws to make it illegal for Americans to print or to broadcast anything critical of their wonderful humanitarian brotherhood program. You don't want your 10-year-old son taught about the wonders of sodomy. Or if you don't want your 6-year-old daughter gang-raped after being bused to an inner-city school, then you are a wicked hater and bigot and really ought to be put in jail for expressing such terrible thoughts. Well, my friend, nationalists say that those who would take away our right to speak out on these issues, which our forefathers died to procure for us, are traitors to America and deserve to be treated as such. American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books. Americans, you don't know what a valuable resource this program is. Most of you, even those of you who agree with what I've been saying, don't know just how bad things really are and how late the hour is. It's a near miracle that we're able to produce this show and keep it on the air. The enemies of America have regularly tried to exert illegal pressure to have us taken off the air. Sometimes they've succeeded, as they did with WWL New Orleans last week. That's why it's so important for everyone who believes in America and believes in what I'm trying to do to write the local station that carries this program and tell them you appreciate their belief in the First Amendment, you appreciate their support for free speech, and that you appreciate their courage in keeping American dissident voices on the air. And it's just as important for you to financially support us, to keep us solvent, in business, and on the air to speak up for America. Without the regular and substantial support of patriots like you, all our efforts would grind to a halt. Today, I'm going to offer to you one of the greatest patriotic speeches ever committed to audio tape as an incentive for you to contribute to this program. For a gift of $12 or more, I'll send you a copy of Our Cause by Dr. William Pierce. Dr. Pierce is the director of National Vanguard Books and chairman of the National Alliance. In this speech, he explains in moving prose the fundamentals of our movement for national renewal. He gets to the bottom of our decline and points out, like the teacher and philosopher that he is, a better way. We Americans have lost our way, and our cause will help us find it again. Our cause is yours for a donation of $12 or more as our radio offer number 11. Just send your donation to our address, National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. And remember to ask for radio offer number 11. With your help, I'll be back next week with another edition of the only truly uncensored patriotic program on the air today, American Dissident Voices. This program is copyright 1993 by National Vanguard Books. American Dissident Voices explores issues of concern to American patriots and to patriots of our Western civilization around the world. It is hoped that our listeners worldwide will gain an increased understanding of American and international political forces and events, and will use the knowledge gained thereby to promote the nationalism that alone can bring peace and freedom to the diverse nations and peoples of this planet. Please support our efforts to bring a voice of truth and sanity to the airwaves. We cannot stay on the air without your help. Please write today. Always mention the call letters of this station when you write. If you'd like to receive a copy of our big book catalog for patriots, containing over 300 books, audio cassettes, and videos that the censors of political correctness don't want you to see, then send $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. Our overseas listeners can send two international reply coupons in lieu of the $1. If you're a student, a senior citizen, or unemployed or disabled, we'll send you the catalog for free. Write to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. This program is pre-recorded and comes to you from the United States of America. Oh,